Lansing with Michael Cohen. This is More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And we're back. Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. Michigan's low-tax renaissance zones are meant to help struggling communities, although Governor Rick Snyder's tax reform law did just the opposite by eliminating the income tax exemption in these zones. State lawmakers now want to change that. To talk about it, I'm joined by Democratic State Representative Marsha Hovey Wright of Muskegon. Welcome to the program, Representative Hovey Wright.
Yes, thank you.
Now, what kind of tax breaks are available in Renaissance zones, and have they in fact been successful in helping communities survive or prosper?
The tax exemptions are the income tax, the 4.35, I think it is, percent tax. Yes, they've been very successful. I can tell you in Muskegon, I live in the downtown, and we have had four or five buildings that probably wouldn't have been renovated or built without those incentives to live in the downtown and buy condos and whatnot in the downtown. So townhouses.
It seems that eliminating the income tax exemption in the zones should have been avoided in the first place. I mean, how did that get through?
Well, I think it was inadvertent when Lieutenant Governor Calley was in Muskegon in August. One of the developers asked him, will we be able to, will these continue? And Calley's answer was yes. And then when he checked after getting back to Lansing, you realize that, no, they were eliminated, and that was not ever discussed in the legislation anywhere. And so basically what we're trying to do with this bill to restore those tax exemptions is to just be fair and honor the government's promise to when the developers invested in these buildings, they it was with the assumption and the stated they had contracts as well that these would continue going forward to the end of their Renaissance zone. In Muskegon, we have two buildings that go through 2023, some others that don't last as long. So the bill would restore those exemptions through the end of each Renaissance zone, not beyond, and there would not be any new Renaissance zones. But
Well, this legislative effort, from what I know, to keep the REN zone estate income tax exemption began in June. Although the governor has no official position on the current legislation, why is that?
I really couldn't answer for the governor. We really didn't even know about this particular problem until August. So I'm not sure where the June came from. We did talk about extending, there was a bill, or there is a bill, to extend the Renaissance zones to some new building or some other buildings in the downtown Muskegon, but I don't believe that bill is going anywhere.
From what I know,
there's a little bit different issue there.
I see. From what I know, in the city of Muskegon, the state income tax exemption is just one of the zone's incentives as property.
Yeah.
They also don't pay property taxes and the former Michigan business tax and the city's income tax. Does that just leave federal taxes then? Or
I believe, yes.
I see.
So I'm not on the tax committee, so there has not yet been a fix on the brownfield tax credits or the historic tax credits. I know there's something happening with the brownfield, but I couldn't give you details. I haven't seen it yet.
I see. Now, would these types of changes, though, impact the financial structure? Because in a way, by removing these exemptions, there's a certain amount of money that's been saved.
Statewide, it's $1.3 million. So it's not a huge problem. I mean, it's not a huge loss of revenue. So So, I think that's why we're able to get it through.
I see.
It's really minor. The major developments are, you know, in Muskegon, Grand Rapids, Traverse City. And I can tell you in Muskegon, they've made a huge difference. I mean, we had a mall that was torn down. It was in rubble 10 years ago when I moved into the downtown. And now we have, several new buildings, three new buildings right in the middle of downtown, two more on the couple of blocks away, and a lot of residences. And it's only the residents that will be affected by this. The people that live in the Watermark, in the townhouses, in the future.
Would not be. Now, let me ask you this. By the way, I'm talking to Democratic State Representative Marsha Hovey Wright of Muskegon. I know the State House met today to discuss its version of the anti-bullying bill. So I'm very interested to talk about that, because there is this religious provision in the Senate bill that has drawn quite a strong reaction. What was the conversation today? Do you expect the House to have a similar provision?
Well, it did not. We voted on the anti-bullying bill at the end of the session today. It did not include the very controversial religious exemption. It was. I'm a former school social worker, so I dealt with bullying on the front line. And the bill that we passed today, it's better than nothing, but not much better. It's a weak bill. It doesn't have the kind of protections like the Democrats wanted, which is enumeration of the categories for bullying and required reporting.
So you've seen.
I did vote for it, but I am going to encourage the districts in my district, the school districts in my district, to have much stronger policies. And there are guidelines, I believe, through the Department of Education for that.
So you've seen bullying close up, having worked within the school system. Do you really believe that this kind of legislation on the state level is going to make a difference when so much of these bullying incidents are happening right there in the school? And isn't that where the real action needs to be taken, with people that are directly involved?
Well, currently about 75% of districts statewide have anti-bullying policies. Some are stronger than others. I mean, we're not going to eliminate bullying, but this will at least require that all districts have a policy and that all districts deal with it. I was in a school where the principal in 2004, I went to him and said, we need a anti-bullying policy. And I had a sample policy, and he just, didn't think we need to deal with it. And, for those schools, I think this will help. But I don't think, it's up to each district to devise policy that works for them. Hopefully it will have more teeth than what we passed today.
Do you think that bullying as an issue is as big of a deal as some people make it out to be?
Well, I think it is. I think it is, and particularly with the cyberbullying that's, sort of a new form that didn't exist back in 2004 when I was working in the school. But that is definitely a new thing, and it's very powerful and very hard to get a handle on.
I see. Now, the state law then ultimately is not going to really address cyberbullying, right? And it's not going to set any real clear guidelines for policies that school districts should have in place. Essentially, it's saying it's up to you guys to figure it out, and we just want you to come up with something.
Right. That's why I say it's quite weak. But, I voted for it. It's better than nothing, but not much.
I see. So at this point, with the two, now the House has it then passed this anti-bullying bill?
It passed the House tonight. It was the last thing we voted on. around 5 o'clock tonight, and it has to be passed by the Senate. Of course, the Senate bill was the one that had the controversial, you know, strongly held belief language, which is it's awful. It's a negative.
Is that likely to drop? Do you expect that then to not be part of the final bill?
I don't think so, based on, you know, the national press that just kind of was very critical of that language. I mean, it basically gives people a license to bully. That's not what we're looking for.
Well, indeed, the less bullying, the better. Unfortunately, as you said, it is something that we'll never completely get rid of. But Democratic State Representative Marsha Hovey Wright of Muskegon, thank you very much for joining me.
You're welcome. And-